as teachers prepares to stage another walk-in to protest low teacher pay and education funding in our state on Wednesday, Craig Harris with the Arizona Republic found a concerning trend among our state's teachers. They're commuting across state lines because they can make so much more money in a neighboring state. I sat down with Harris to talk more about it and how he used census data to quantify this growing problem for Arizona schools.
We had heard anecdotally that teachers were leaving Arizona to go to other states for better pay. So we thought, well, let's just look at it. Let's see if that's true.
Yeah.
So we tracked some U.S. Census data. And actually, there are a larger number of teachers leaving Arizona. Like in 2014 to 2016, about 730 teachers left Arizona each year to go to neighboring states, with California getting the majority of those. In the previous 8 years, there's about 530 educators who are leaving Arizona for our neighboring states, California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Colorado. And so, you know, in the big scheme of things, it's a small fraction of the numbers, but it is telling that the numbers are increasing and teachers are saying, look, I've had enough. And we just looked at those four neighboring states. We didn't even look at other states where they might have left to go to Texas or up to the Pacific Northwest or other places.
Right, or just left the profession altogether, right? So that, yeah, that is indicative. So this is becoming particularly interesting in Yuma, right, because it's right on the California-Arizona border. What did you find is going on in schools there?
Well, in Yuma, they've lost at least 10 teachers the last several years, which, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're losing really good teachers, it is. It's very significant. And we found a person down in Yuma named Rene Castillo, and he was kind of a local boy, done good. He'd grown up in Yuma. He came up here to Arizona State University, and his brother said, hey, come on back. Come back to Yuma and teach with me. And so he did, and he loved it there. His family's there. His parents are there. His brother's there. But after 11 years of teaching in Yuma and only seeing his salary go from $30,000 to about $39,000, he'd had enough. And he drives now an hour to El Centro with two other Yuma teachers who drive to El Centro. They carpool.
Oh, wow.
And he doubled his pay from about $39,000 to $80,000. And there's still potential more to make more money because he can now coach or do other things there in El Centro if he wants. And in a rural area, that's a long drive. But when you're doubling your pay, it's a big payoff.
Yeah, yeah. What did he tell you about that decision to leave? Was it difficult for him?
Oh, it broke his heart. He actually admitted that he cried when he went and told his team, his players, even though he wasn't the head coach, he was the assistant coach, his brother's the head coach. He broke down and cried because mm-hmm. it broke his heart to leave his hometown. He wanted to come back home. He wanted to make something there. But at the end of the day, economically, he just couldn't do it. I mean, he drives a beat-up old Honda. It's got close to 200,000 miles on it. You know, his brakes are terrible. And so one of the first things he's going to do when he gets his paycheck he got it now at the end of the last month, is fix his brakes. And so, you know, basic things that a lot of people just take for granted that you're able to do, he put off. And so now he's going to be able to do some of those things that, you know, a lot of people just enjoy doing because they have good paying jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Is it just the salary, or are there things happening in school districts in other states that teachers feel more valued?
Well, that's one thing that he said, and that's what other teachers have told me too, is they feel more valued. The class sizes are smaller. They have more support. They have more aides. They have better textbooks. I mean, one thing that was compelling is that, as we see now here in Arizona, is a lot of teachers are tweeting or showing in pictures just raggedy, ripped up textbooks or horrible facilities or, you know, beat up equipment. You know, when he went to El Centro, he put in a work order to get a new screen, and he got it in a day. He said it would have taken him months, if at all, when he was in Yuma. So it's not just the pay is a lot more, which is clearly enticing, but it's just little things that he said makes his life a whole lot easier and that he can devote more time to teaching kids.
Yeah, yeah. So what does that do to the school district in Yuma? I mean, these are rural schools. It's not a very wealthy community. What do they say?
They're devastated. I mean, I talked to the superintendent, and, you know, she said she doesn't blame him. And as a matter of fact, the superintendent in Yuma came there, has been there for years, and loves that community. But she says there's nothing she can do. Her hands are tied. They do everything they can to keep their administration small so they can funnel more money into class dollars and into classrooms for teachers. But like you said, it's a rural, it's not a a strong economic community, so it's not like they can go out and ask for overrides to get more money from the community like some wealthier communities up here in Phoenix can do. So it makes it really difficult down there, and she's frustrated. Her hands are tied, and she wants the legislature and the governor to basically do what the teachers are asking for. Give them more money so she can keep her teachers in Yuma.
What are they doing in the meantime? Are they hiring substitutes, or do they have enough teachers there?
Well, that's another problem, is that what Mr. Castillo told me is that not only do they have a teacher shortage, they have a sub shortage. So if a teacher is sick, or a teacher wants to take a day off, or a teacher has a sick child at home and can't go, a lot of times Yuma can't even get subs to come in and cover those teachers. So they have to get other teachers to cover prep time or to cover classrooms, or, you know, there'll be times where a teacher is sick and not there and they can't get a sub. So they parse out those kids in different classrooms. And it's like, they may not even be teaching what the other teacher is teaching, but they can't just let 30, 45 kids sit in a classroom and be unmonitored or wander around the hall. So they've got to put them in classrooms. And basically, it's just a waste of that hour, because you're going into another class that may not even be covering the subject that you're covering, but they have to be watched because they're minors. They have to be supervised.
You point out in the story that the spike in teacher departures that you could track via these census numbers occurred when Governor Ducey first took office, right? And obviously he's hearing cries from teachers every week now, protesting at the state capitol, saying you have to fund education more, you have to give teachers a higher pay. Do you think this is something that's going to play out in the next election?
I think absolutely. I think there's a lot of parents, there's a lot of teachers, there's a lot of folks who live not only in rural parts of the area like Yuma, but suburbs here in Phoenix, which should be extremely strong for Governor Ducey, because they're typically Republican areas, they're typically folks who are conservative fiscally, but they're also fed up. And I think a lot of them are going to go to the polls, and we've seen even this year a change across the country where President Trump was very popular in some areas, and his candidates are losing. And so the shift is starting to change, and that could play out here in Arizona, especially if teachers go on strike.
All right. Lots to watch for. Craig Harris is a senior investigative reporter with the Arizona Republic. Craig, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.